Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. All right. I don't even know what week we are. Let's call it week four of our quarantine. And I think our sense here in Indiana is that we are getting closer to starting or going back to work than we are continuing to stay in this. So I think this might probably be our last week, from what we can tell so far, of working remote. What we'll do is we'll cover the impact on the economy, what we know right now. Freddie's going to lead us through earnings and then changes in our equity portfolios and our portfolio models. Charlie's going to talk to us about a new hobby that he's picked up during the coronavirus period. And then Adam will lead us through the fixed income side. So, excuse me, right now, so from what we can really look at the context for what we're in right now, the spring of 2020 will forever be defined and remembered by this coronavirus, the quarantine period, and this economic stimulus. So we expect that many things that we took for granted, such as school, large sporting events, just our office environment, are going to change now for the sake of our health. So whether this whole thing turns out as a fleeting memory like the Y2K experience, where the pictures of the somber breadlines from the depression of the 1930s still remains to be seen. But the impact that this pandemic on our society will always be remembered. So this is something that is just, it's going to last longer than we first expected. So the recovery is going to be slower. I think we're into that camp. And again, we separate the impact on the capital markets from the economy. So even though the economy may be slower to recover, the capital markets will show recovery quicker, and we're already starting to see that. So this 30-day period began early in March, our economy basically shut down. So the full economic impact of all of these closures will not be seen in the economic data until April and May. So we are expecting our GDP growth to collapse by 9.5%. China's is down 4% in the first quarter, and their industrial output is down 13.5%. I saw initial data on Europe is down 10%. I mean, these are unprecedented numbers of contraction. So we do not have a national playbook on how to manage through this pandemic. And so as a result, these cities, businesses, churches, we're all managing through this crisis without really a prior precedent. So the national dialogue now is beginning to shift towards reopening the economy. And it really struck us how fragile this economy is, that 30 days of closing just basically shuts down businesses. So we are in the early stages of I think, the economic pain that businesses are going to see. So we expect an increase in bankruptcies and closings. We've already seen JCPenney, Neiman Marcus, Diamond Offshore Drilling declare bankruptcy. We have not even gotten to May and June, but their rent payments are going to be challenged for commercial real estate. And even though the principal or the payroll protection program is designed for small businesses to pay these rents, we expect to see slippage in that. And it's not obviously going to cover all small businesses because there's a limit to how far that program is going to be able to go. So with that, I mean, we could go on and on and on, but that creates a context, I think, for where we are today and where we're thinking through this from an investment standpoint is that we are in this contraction phase for longer. We don't expect to see a pickup in economic growth till the end of the third quarter now. And depending on how successful the stimulative program is, that will really define how that rebound takes place and how quickly we can get businesses back up and running. But right now, it looks slow and tentative at best. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Freddie to really lead a discussion on earnings and then the changes in our equity portfolios.
Thanks, Greg. So to give a little bit of a background of where we're at in the market right now, we're The S&P is up 29% off of its lows and 16% off of all-time highs. We're seeing technology, healthcare, and staples really holding up the market. So we're not seeing a recovery that's led by discretionary banks and autos like we see typically. In reality, these stocks are continuing to fall. So looking at stocks like Amazon, that's up 26% year to date. That makes up 40% of the consumer discretionary market right now. The five largest stocks make up more than 20% of the S&P. So it's very concentrated at the top, and there's an extreme reliance on these mega cap growth stocks to be a driver for further growth. So like Greg said, there could be more damage once these stocks and sectors that are performing reach overbought territory. The last two times the S&P was at 2,800, right now we're at 2,836, it was March 2019 and January 2018. And both of those times, earnings projections were a lot higher than they are now, making things seem a little bit expensive at this point. But to get into earnings season, we're about 20% of the way through. 66% of companies have beat on earnings and 61% have beat on revenue, with financials being the real laggards. Given that 37 companies have reported and over half have actually missed on their estimates. So it is a very challenging earnings environment. 88% of companies aren't really offering guidance. But wanted to give a earnings preview to start with Alphabet, who's reporting this week. So to kind of gauge where earnings will come in, it's important to see look at information that we do have. I think a good place to start here is to look at Snapchat. Although these two companies are vastly different in size, the majority of both companies' revenue does come from advertising. Snapchat's revenue came in at $462 million, which was up 44% year over year. Daily active users was up 20%, so average revenue per user had a heavy beat at $202 versus $168. So this is extremely interesting given the large negative news on advertising revenue. You have companies like Facebook that have been hit extremely hard, where most of the revenue, again, comes from advertising. The view, obviously, during a cash crunch, marketing is one of the first items that companies cut. But we think that companies like Google and Facebook, who don't really dominate the advertising world, they make up 60% of the U.S. marketing market. They're only going to benefit if smaller companies are continuing to be pushed out of business. Markets that are previously controlled are going to be open for these giants, really. So Snapchat's earnings really provide a little bit of vision into it. And I think Google, being the dominant player that it is going to come out in the same light when they do report. Other earnings to look at this week, and I believe Adam will talk about these a little bit more, are Apple, Starbucks, McDonald's, Qualcomm, Merck, and Pfizer. So with that, I'm going to shift it over to Adam.
Okay, yeah. So obviously earnings are going to be tough this time around. It's hard to estimate. It's hard to know how customers are going to act. So a wide array, a variety here of earnings estimates. So to start, we've got Apple. Back half of the year, we're expecting them to release several new 5G phones that should help pick the company back up. But going into the next couple quarters, we're expecting earnings to decline pretty sharply, expecting $275 this quarter and then down to $208 for the third quarter as revenues just in general decline by almost 50%. So estimating dropping from $91 billion in revenue last quarter to $55 this quarter, down to $50 in Q3 as this kind of all bleeds together. So the bar is set pretty low for them. So that's maybe a positive, but overall, you're seeing estimates come down fairly sharply here for the next two quarters. But we are looking forward to those 5G phones coming out, which leads us into Qualcomm. Completely different story. Revenues are very stable. Expecting those to be $5 billion for the next two quarters, which is the same as it was last quarter. as chipsets really have not declined and the demand for chipsets has gone up with 5G phones and the cycle still remaining stable. You have not seen any carrier or producer pull back their 5G launch. And so you've actually seen chipset average price increasing fairly sharply for Qualcomm. So earnings estimates at 55 cents for this quarter and then 61 for Q3, very stable there. So we think that this should be a good earnings for Qualcomm. And then on the other side of the table, we've got Starbucks. Should be a very tough quarter. So you've got a company here that right now has 44% of their stores closed. And then all of those stores that are actually open are all drive-through. So you're really limiting the number of sales you can have. And then on top of it, to make margin pressure even greater, is that Starbucks is still paying all of their employees through May 3rd. So Starbucks has traditionally been one of those companies that's really taking care of their employees, which is great. But from a bottom line standpoint, it does have a negative impact. So we're seeing earnings for this quarter drop to 30 cents and then actually hitting zero for Q3. As they continue to have to make their rent payments and they're paying their employees while only having half of their stores open. So a tough quarter ahead for Starbucks, but China is open and you are seeing those stores open back up and pick up, so that will help. And then on the side of that, if you paid attention, Luckin Coffee, who many people saw as a competitor to Starbucks in China, came out a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, with showing that a lot of their numbers had been fraud. Stock was down over 50% on that news. So not as big of a competitor as we thought. So there were some silver linings for Starbucks, but this will be a tough quarter for them. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Freddie to finish up.
Hey, Freddie. Question.
Yeah.
On the earning, yeah. On the advertising issue, do you and Adam see this changing with the election coming up, heading into the third quarter, that we actually do see a bump in advertising that the market's not really discounting right now?
Yeah.
I would say yes. It's going to be the back half of the year, but that definitely will be a pickup, more so for Facebook than Qualcomm. I mean, than Google. I don't know what you think, Freddie.
Yeah, I definitely agree. These are especially for Facebook and Google, that's where all the ad revenue is going to go. And like I said, once it does start picking up, marketing is going to be one of the first things to be ramped up.
Hey, Freddie, before we turn it back over to you, I want to pull Charlie into this discussion. And Charlie, during this pandemic, have you picked up any new hobbies?
I was wondering what you were referring to when you said that in the beginning.
Not too much. Nothing?
Go on. I mean, I'm playing into the whole the Netflix analyst gush story, where that's a lot of my time. But not Michael Jordan.
Go ahead.
The Michael Jordan Bulls documentary is just amazing, so I would recommend that to anybody.
New hobby, watching TV.
My kitchen table has two sewing machines, and Kate ordered a watercolor picture of our dog. So we have Kate watercoloring, my other daughter is sewing quilts, and my wife's sewing masks. So it's, our kitchen table is not a kitchen table anymore. Craft spot. Adam, how about you? Any new hobbies?
Building a swing set. Woodworking.
Ready?
No, I mean, I've been watching a lot of clicks as well.
We need to all get lives.
What about innovative workouts? You've been working out at home in new and innovative ways, right?
Yeah, mostly dumbbells and bands. That's all you can really do.
Oh, yeah, because the gyms are still closed. Any word on when those are going to open up?
They're saying that's going to be phase one here in Indiana.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Lots of hand sanitizer.
Right.
All right. Freddie, back to you. Take us home.
Okay. Actually, I think I was there for equity. So switching to fixed income, just real quick, really rates haven't done anything. 10 years at 60 basis points has been there for over a week. The big story really is new issuance, which was heavy again last week at $40 billion. So that brings our total so far this year to $680 billion in corporate new issuance. So heavy, heavy issuance as companies kind of want to get their cash built up. And it's not just isolated into companies that maybe intuitively should be raising cash, you know, the distressed companies. I mean, last week we saw Eli Lilly, who has $5 billion of cash. Generally speaking, revenues have not declined, but still coming to market with big deals. So it seems like all firms across the board are trying to just build that cash hoard in case this thing gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah, the other consequence to that, Adam, is the flood of downgrades that we're seeing now in the credit market, especially going from investment grade into high yield space. So we should probably cover that next week.
Yep. Yeah, I had a friend of mine who works for Herf Jones text me this morning. They got downgraded CCC, saying, "Does this mean my job is going to go away?" So it's coming. Talking about high yield, I'll switch it over to Charlie.
Yep. So the phenomena of negative oil prices, which I'll get to a little bit later, did take a real effect on high yield. Investment grade index only widened about 2 bps last week from what I was seeing, but the high yield index widened 72 basis points. So a huge difference there. And so just with that reminder that energy companies make up 11% of the U.S. High yield index. Performance was about what you'd expect. Double Bs outperformed single Bs, which in turn outperforms triple Cs. Like Adam said, with the primary market as a whole, the primary market in high yield was on fire last week, $13 billion priced in volume. The most notable issuer last week was Netflix. So if anyone watches the news, they might be surprised to hear at this point that Netflix is high yield with how much analysts just go crazy over the company. And it did take a little bit of a factor into pricing. We saw their 5-year U.S. dollar notes price at 3 5/8, which is tighter than a lot of even investment grade companies have priced in that tenor. But the deal still saw huge demand, taking in over 10 times the amount that they issued. The demand for high yield is still huge with concessions still present. Delta, which was recently downgraded into high yield, is on the calendar for this week with $3 billion in debt. This offering should be a pretty good barometer of where investor sentiment is in the COVID-19 crisis. One should expect a Ford-like offering, I would believe, with yields sporting with double digits, as most of their collateral has already been securitized. And so the most interesting news of the last week, at least in my opinion, was the unthinkable happening in energy markets. Shortly after the call last week, WTI crude oil futures contracts for May delivery went negative. And by negative, I mean very negative. At its peak, which might not be the right word, maybe I should be using trough instead, a barrel for oil for delivery in May was worth about negative $40. So I'm sure the explanation has been hammered into everyone's heads at this point. But the large reason for the negative price were investors that could not or would not take physical delivery of oil. Man, wouldn't that be nice to just have your garage full of barrels of oil? But they had to unload their contracts. And so they were willing to pay other people to take them. So that's why we saw those negative prices. The shortest active contract now, June, oil closed at just under $17 a barrel, which was down 32% week over week. Inventories continue to build. They're now 9% over the 5-year seasonal averages. And with this, I really, in my opinion, high yield energy is currently uninvestable as there's still too much uncertainty with oil prices. With that, I'll give it back to you, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. The other part of the capital markets that we haven't really hit on is the collateralized loan market and the leveraged loan market. So that is as big, if not bigger, than high yield. And it's open really only to institutional investors. So we, as the retail investor, doesn't really have access to as much access to it. But we're seeing a decline or erosion of up to 10% now of the CLO structures. So we're expecting to see a pretty severe hit in the leveraged loan market through this as well. So we are in uncharted waters. You know, we came into this, you guys, really in uncharted waters from the first aspect of it, just because of the aggressive monetary policies that the central bank was pursuing in an effort just to get 2% growth following the financial crisis. So this whole playbook, this is we're lost upon lost, I think, in terms of just where we are from a capital markets and an investment standpoint. So I think the context for how we set this and how we invest, watching our central bank is going to be really, really important. And then secondly is just navigating this earnings season to understand who the winners are and then who the ones that are most impacted by it. So we'll keep you guys up on what we find throughout the week, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Be safe.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.